Well, here we are with the Biz News Rational Radio lunchtime webinar on a Monday, as always, only for the Biz News Premium subscribers or the Biz News Premium community. Even so, David, we're getting lots of people coming in. David, why don't you tell us a little about Piet Viljoen?
Piet is the truest value investor I have ever met. I've known Piet from, I think he was at Alan Grayer's knot at one stage, but I remember him more from his Investec days as well. First of all, I think he knows Buffett better than any of us do, and he knows Buffett's philosophies. In other words, we can go all the way back to the teachings of Benjamin Graham. I don't think you're going to find a better student than Piet. But also, I think if you're going to learn from anybody in South Africa, there are a handful of people, one of which is going to be Piet. If you're a student of investment, I think Piet is one person that you can listen to with, certainly with confidence, but always entertaining and always got different views.
Indeed, he does. But like Mr. Buffett himself, not really mainstream. And then Russell Lamberti will be joining us later. He's part of the whole Panda project. And I thought it was a good idea to ask Russell to come in after the news that we got last night, Dave, that we effectively the economy in South Africa is opening up again.
Very, very clever economist. Does his numbers, does his work thoroughly. You know, you're not going to catch him out on anything. Don't start arguing with him because he's going to beat you, whether you like his views or not. He's one of these chaps you listen to and say, listen, I'm not, because I haven't done the homework myself. So you're not going to catch him out, but also highly respected, in the industry. Very, very highly respected.
David and I'll talk for about the next 10 minutes, find out from Mr. Shapiro his views on what's going on with the investment markets. We've got some quite interesting insights there in the whole story. Well, Dave, maybe we should start at the lockdown. Have the markets, if anything, reacted to it, the move now that we have some detail about what's going to happen to the South African economy? We know how much damage, or we understand a lot of damage has been done in the 8 weeks that we've had a lockdown for, but with the improvement now, we're opening up the economy, have investors got more optimistic?
Probably. I think we've got to wait for the evidence to come through. You know, the JSE is made up of so many international stocks with huge influence. So, I mean, if you go through indices, very heavily leaning towards shares like Naspers and Tencent, and Prosus, British American Tobacco, also the miners, gold shares and other mining companies, platinum companies in that, which are not really reflective of what's happening in the economy. Once we go down below that, once you go down into the retailers and into the financial shares, you'll find a different picture there. So you've got to look at the two different markets and that. And we've been hurt. We've been hurt on financials. So on the weekend, I was looking at Investec, and I know that they unbundled 91. And I'm not quite sure whether the charts that we look at actually reflect that. Here's a company where over the last 5 years, you would have lost in the region of about 15% per annum. If you look at Nedbank, you're getting similar kinds of analysis coming through. So if you go through SA Inc., it's been a really difficult time. I know we're going to talk about Tiger Brands a little later as well. And I think there are a lot of questions that we have to ask. How much of this is economy? How much of this is lockdown? When I say economy, how much of this is economics or the global economics? How much of it is lockdown specifically to South Africa? And the third question, you've got to keep probing management. How much could they have done? We're going to see as we start to unlock, as we start to get the economy back, whether or not they are going to be able to turn things around and, swing this market better.
Dave, I've got the Investec chart for South Africa, in other words, Investec Limited, up on the screen now. And it really hasn't done a heck of a lot for a long time. That, as you mentioned, there was the unbundling of what is now called 91. But even so, if you were to double the Investec price, you're still looking at where it was 5 years ago. So it's been a real disappointing performer, and yet a great company.
That's the point. Without being too critical, probably lost their identity. Things have changed so dramatically in the global economy. You wonder where they are and how they're going to pull out of the situation. I always compare them with Liberty Life. Remember in the 60s and 70s at the height of Johnny Gordon, it was untouchable. No company could come close to liberty. And yet things started to change in the economy. We opened up the economy from 1994, and they were never able to adapt. And in the same way, Investec has always been a bank that focused on the high end of their consumer, professionals. They were the professionals bank. If you were a dentist, a doctor, a lawyer, you would always go there. You would go to Investec, who would help finance your business. Somehow they've lost that. Other banks have come into their territory. I still have an Investec card, and I can't complain. I still think that the quality of service I get is no one can touch that. You know, it's very difficult. It could be circumstances, I'm not sure. But I mean, where I'm getting at is that if I go to all the banks, you've got similar kinds of trends under a lot of pressure. Multiples or PE ratios are kind of unraveling, which that's fine, you know, which they should do in an economy that is battling to grow. On the other hand, and that's why when we look at our market, on the other hand, you've had Prosus and Tencent going through the roof. They're coming under a bit of pressure now because of the Hong Kong issues now, which one can bring up a little later, etc. Their performance has been staggering. You know, it's really, really been good. Relative to other things, and they've got a big sway on where the indices end up. And then you can't ignore gold shares either, which just have knocked the lights out.
Well, I've got on the screen now the Naspers share price, and also going back 5 years. So if you'd taken a bet on Investec 5 years ago or Naspers 5 years ago, the one you'd basically still have your money, the other one you'd have trebled your investment. And that kind of tells everything, doesn't it?
There's a much broader message. You know, this is the digital economy that's growing. I think all that lockdown has done is hastened the emergence of this digital economy was already happening. What you're going to find, and if you go to all markets, if you go to the US, you're going to find similar kinds of trends where you had, and I'm taking this from the, I actually tweeted a chart yesterday, but I took the heading from something that I'd read in the Financial Times, which was the disruptors versus the disrupted. And the disruptors are all these tech companies that are benefiting significantly from where the global economy is pointing versus the disruptors, those companies that are under pressure because of the lockdown and also because of the way that tastes are changing globally. Yeah, there you are.
David, wow. Talk about
that's what you do when you're stuck at home and there's no soccer to watch.
That's quite an incredible graph, though. Zoom. Yeah. Did you buy Zoom?
No, I didn't know it existed. I never knew Zoom existed until 6 weeks ago. So how could I have one? Tesla is unique. Yeah. You know, that's how can we explain that? But NVIDIA, you know, NVIDIA is a semiconductor maker that is so well placed, not only for the gaming industry, but for streaming, but also well placed in cloud. As cloud expands, and I picked up some numbers this weekend, which are quite incredible. You know, we've tended to ignore Indonesia and areas like this. But the amount of e-commerce that's growing and demand for cloud is, you know, we're starting to see very significant numbers. If you go down, you'll see very similar type of companies until we get to the bottom, you know, the reds.
And that's exact opposites. Walgreens, Dow, which is a chemical company, JP Morgan, Bank, Exxon, Fargo. Hasn't that been a great disappointment for Warren Buffett? Has he started selling, Dave? Is he getting out of Wells Fargo?
Very little. I think he got out of some JP Morgan and he got out of his Goldman Sachs holding. I don't think he's Wells. I don't think he's got out of his Wells. I've got the South African ones as well, which I used as winners and losers because I don't know whether we've got the disruptors. There you are. There's the South African ones. These are in rands, and I'll give a warning because, but look at those as well. It's quite diverse what the kind of gainers versus the losers. But Prosus, 142. You know, if you put it, I like to do it like this. Put 100 rand in today, it's worth, not today, since the 1st of January, 142.81. And Naspers as well. So some very significant gains. And now you can see the difference in the markets, you know, where it's these international stocks that have really held up. And I put up gold shares into that kind of, you know, into the Rand hedge category. But you can see the different performances. Sadly, down there is City Lodge. It's a wonderful business. It's just been hurt by, you know, by the lockdown on travel. Sasol, we know the story. And the banks there, look at Nedbank, 42%, 41%, 60% are down since the 1st of January. And naturally, the property companies as well.
David, it's actually a lovely segue to Piet Viljoen. David was singing your praises earlier. He said there isn't a more, or how did you describe it, David, a better person to learn from about value investing than Piet Viljoen in South Africa. He says you're a purist. Are you still a purist? But if you work for this company, and David Shapiro, it would be lovely for you to come in here. You knew Rudy Frankel, didn't you, David? He was the master of this ship for many years and did terribly well.
I still know the family very well. Tiger Brands was always, I mean, Pitt says it, it's a brand company. And they stood behind their brands. There was a lot of commodity, you know, still to this day. I mean, what do they make? They make bread and they make, it's maize meals and various other commodities like that. So there's a lot of trading behind that. And in order, their success came from understanding the markets in which they traded. That was the old time Rudy Frankel and the successes thereof. And they've gone completely off guard. The question that I wanted to ask Pitt, and I mean, we're going to lead towards that. I don't want to get away from Tiger Brands, is that how do you warn investors about management? You know, those managers who are more interested in actually acquisitions than actually standing behind them. You know, you can pick up those traits all along the line. You know, I come under a lot of criticism because sometimes I'm a little forthright or outspoken and that, and communities come back at me. But I'm saying the evidence is there. You know, in Tigers, Dangote, what did they write off? Over 2 billion, I don't know, more. Listeriosis. And now we have more issues. And yet management stays. No one gets rid of management.